I'm going to start from Romans chapter 8 and verse 28. I'm going to read it from the Amplified Bible. It says, "And we know with great confidence that God, who is deeply concerned about us, causes all things to work together as a plan for good for those who love God and to those who are called according to his plan and purpose." I don't know about you. Romans chapter 8 and verse 28 blesses me all the time. "And we know," permit me to read it again, "and we know with great confidence that God, who is deeply concerned about us, causes all things," not some things, "God causes all things to work together as a plan for good for those who love God and to those who are called according to his plan and purpose." Permit me to paraphrase tonight. It's saying, the moment I make the plan and the purpose of God the essence of my life, the reason for my living, God will cause everything to work in my favor. In my first book, What You Choose Is What You Get, I call this the ultimate choice. The moment I choose God's purpose and plan for my life, the Bible is saying God will cause everything to work in my favor. When people do good to me, when people attempt to do bad to me, when I make mistakes, regardless of what it is, God will take it and turn it into something good. In other words, God will use it to work out his plan for my life. Okay, and that was where we started from last week. Allow me to recap a few of the principles we shared last week. I told you that the discovery of purpose and living on purpose is now not just a spiritual issue, it has become a mental health issue. The discovery of purpose and living on purpose is now a mental health issue. Why did I say that? If you don't know why you're running, life will wear you out. If you don't know why you're running, life will wear you out. I told you that without purpose, life has no meaning. And without meaning, life is not worth living. I told you that the beauty of life is not in destinations, it's in the journey. And we rounded up last week, Wednesday. Okay, I shared with you three things that purpose will do for you. And I told you last week, okay, those 3 points, I took them from my book, The Checklist. If you are interested in the book, the link is in my bio. How to get the book is available on Amazon. For those who are in Lagos, Nigeria, you can order for the hardback and it will be shipped to you in less than 24 hours. So I told you last week, okay, three things purpose will do for you. I told you that purpose will protect you. I told you that purpose will fulfill you. I told you that purpose will not let you quit. Okay, tonight, I want to talk essentially about the discovery of purpose. If you are just joining us, okay, this is Life and Leadership with P-Shegs, and we are talking about purpose, okay? The title is Purpose is Everything. And tonight, I want to focus on the discovery of purpose, okay? If you have a question as we go along in this presentation, please use the question section, okay? On Instagram Live, you can see that icon with a question mark on it, okay? Just click on it and type in your question. Regardless of when you type it in, we'll be able to go back and see each question, and I'll be dealing with those questions at the end of our time together. Okay, so let's read from Proverbs chapter 5 and verse 2, Proverbs 25 and verse 2. This is very important. Proverbs 25 and verse 2. It says, "It is the glory of God to conceal a matter. To search out a matter is the glory of kings." I want you to pay attention to this verse of scripture because I'm going to come back to it. It's very important. "It is the glory of God to conceal a matter. To search out a matter is the glory of kings." Let me read it again. "It is the glory of God to conceal a matter. To search out a matter is the glory of kings." Okay, I want to read this quote to us from Ethan Moore. Ethan Moore said that that person is successful who finds what God intended for him to do with his life, prepares himself to do it, and does it daily to the best of his ability. Ladies and gentlemen, this has become for me my personal definition of success. This is what I do with my life. He said, that person is successful who finds what God intended for him to do with his life. That's one. Number two, prepares himself to do it and does it daily to the best of his ability. In other words, the starting point of success is finding out why you are here. The discovery of purpose is the beginning of success. That's what he's saying. The discovery of purpose is the beginning of success. After I discover what my purpose is, why I am here, the next thing I need to do, or better still, the two things I will focus the rest of my life doing is developing myself to fulfill purpose and fulfilling purpose with every opportunity I get. Becoming successful begins, okay, with what? Discovering your purpose. Finding out why you are here. The moment you find out why you are here, the next thing you need to do is what? Develop yourself to fulfill purpose and then spend the rest of your life fulfilling purpose. But if you remember Proverbs chapter 25 and verse 2 that we read, it says, it is the glory of God to conceal a matter, the honor of kings to search it out. In other words, when it comes to the discovery of purpose, everything is not going to fall on your laps, okay? God wants you to exert yourself in the discovery of your purpose, okay? In life, your glory is tied to what you figure out. So God will want you to figure some things out. He's not going to drop everything on your laps. I want you to pay attention to the statements that I'm about to make. It's very important. This is the first one I just shared with you. Okay, God wants you to exert yourself. God wants you to search. So you see, even if he reveals something to you, it will show you a glimpse. For example, he did not show Joseph the totality of his purpose. He only showed Joseph a date in his future. And in Revelation, God will give you a glimpse. For you to step into the fullness of your purpose, you will have to exert yourself. Okay? It's the glory of God to conceal a matter. You need to understand that there are some things concealed for you. Okay? I didn't say this in the announcement before now. Okay? On that digital store of Hill City Church, okay, you would see the link in my bio. We have a free download section. And in that section, we have about 25 messages you can download absolutely free. One of them is this message titled, Hidden for Your Glory. You can go ahead, download that message and listen to it. I spoke more about Proverbs 25 and verse 2 in that message, okay? You need to understand God has hidden some things not from you, but he has hidden them for you. Okay, God has hidden them for you. In other words, they will unfold as you exert yourself. I have not met anybody who stepped into the fullness of purpose without a yearning for it. You've got to be yearning for it. You've got to want it. You've got to search for it. Okay, it is in your exploration that revelation will begin to flow. I have come to find out in life that revelation flows in the direction of people who exert their imagination. So pay attention to the following statements. The discovery of purpose is not an event, but an experience that spans a period of time, depending on your commitment. In other words, you are not going to wake up one day and suddenly discover your purpose. It's an experience. It will take a period of time. It is a process. Okay, that's the first thing I need you to know. Number two, purpose can only fully be understood in retrospect. Purpose can only be fully understood in retrospect. In other words, God will give you a glimpse and you will run with the light that you have. It is as you mature, as you grow, as you become, that your understanding of your assignment will become clearer. So please don't wait until you get the total picture before you start doing anything. All right, the book of Ecclesiastes says that whatever your hand finds to do, you should do with all your heart, okay? If God has shown you just a glimpse, run with the light you have, okay? The discovery of purpose, I like to describe it as climbing a mountain. The higher you climb, the clearer you see. So start with what you have, start where you are, walk with the understanding you have about your purpose, and as you run along, you would get more clarity. Genesis chapter 50 and verse 20. I love this so much. Genesis chapter 50 and verse 20. Joseph speaking here said, you intended to harm me, but God intended it for good. This is important. This is powerful. You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good. See, there are people who think they are planning evil. Joseph is saying God is always involved, in the sense that if it is going to derail my purpose, God will not allow it. In this very instance, Joseph was saying, the very thing you thought was going to bring me down, God was actually the one that put that idea in your heart so that my purpose can be fulfilled. But look at what he said. He said, but God intended it for good, to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives. When Joseph had a dream, all he saw was, oh, family was bowing to me. My brothers were bowing to me. They got offended because what they thought he was saying is that all of us are going to serve you. But by verse 20 of Genesis 50, Joseph in retrospect could see, my purpose is bigger than my family bowing to me. As a matter of fact, my brothers bowing to me was just a date in the future. The real assignment is the saving of many lives. And that's why I told you that purpose can only be fully understood in retrospect. You would have to run with the light you have. It is as you run along that you will gain more clarity. This is important before we move to what I call the four-step process. What you know or what you discover is not as important as what you are doing. You see, as I begin to share with us tonight, you will find out that some of the things I'll be saying to you are going to be very simple, and for many of us, you have heard them before. But if I ask you, are you living every day according to purpose? Not everybody will be able to say yes. So you need to understand what you know, what you already know, or what you discover by virtue of what we're going to share tonight is not enough. What you do is as important. In other words, the person that does not know as much as you know, but is using everything he knows, is better than the person who knows a lot, but is doing nothing. So don't just get, you know, pump, you know, get the kicks from, I know my purpose, I've discovered my purpose. The question is, what are you doing with what you know? That's why next week, Wednesday, I'm going to be teaching on living on purpose. Okay, it's not enough to discover purpose. You've got to live on purpose. All right, now that leads me to what I call the four-step process. The first step process, very simple. If you follow these four steps, you will be able to say in clear terms, this is why I am on earth. This is my purpose. Okay, this is step one. You want to discover your purpose? Step one, ask God to reveal it to you. Ask God to reveal it to you. He said in Jeremiah chapter 33 and verse 3. Okay, he said, ask me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things that you know not. A lot of people don't understand. When they pray to God, they expect God to do something. But here God is saying, in response to your prayer, I will show you, I will reveal you. I will reveal something to you. So one of the things you can do is to approach God and say, you know what? God, reveal my purpose to me. Help me to understand why I am here. And according to this verse of scripture, he said, I will answer you, I will show you great and mighty things that you know not. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9 to 12, very, very powerful verse of scripture. It says, eye has not seen, ear has not heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man the things prepared by God for those who love him. Do you know what that means? There are things prepared for you. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10, it says, we are the workmanship of God recreated in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God prepared before time that we should walk in them. Listen, God has a plan for your life. There is a purpose for you. There are things that you are supposed to be doing. The Bible says, like I shared with you now in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 9, it now says, eye has not seen, ear has not heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man the things prepared by God for those who love him. But the Bible says, but he reveals them to us by the Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. It goes on to say, nobody knows the thoughts of a man except the man's spirit within him. In the same way, nobody knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. Verse 12 now says, but we have received the Spirit not of this world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we may know those things freely given to us by God. In other words, the things prepared by God are revealed by the Holy Spirit to the believers who care to know. So God does not want you to be in the dark concerning your assignment, concerning your purpose, and you can simply just ask him, Father, reveal to me my assignment. Reveal to me the unique contribution you want me to make, okay, with my lifetime. And God says, I will answer you and I will reveal it to you, okay? You need to realize that this is the best way to discover your purpose, to hear it from God himself, okay? But it requires that you recognize God's voice. Now, this is important. I tell people this all the time. After a person gets born again, becomes a Christian, the next most important thing the person needs to do is to develop the ability to hear from God. Okay, the ability to hear from God requires time, fellowship, and obedience. This is important. See, because when God starts speaking to you, he's not going to talk about big things. It will start with simple things. If you obey him, okay, if you follow his instruction in simple things, then he will begin to reveal big things to you. So God is likely not to talk about purpose if he has said simple things as, you know, like forgive your brother and you refuse, or he woke you up middle of the night, say pray, okay, or would you say something nice to that person? Would you give that to that person? When you ignore God in simple things, you are likely not to hear him in big things. And God, you've got to spend fellowship with God, spend time with God, because over time, it is through fellowship that you recognize his voice. Now watch this. Even if you discover your purpose in any other way, hearing from God is the best way to be certain that this is my purpose from God. Let's read John chapter 10, verse 2 to 5. John chapter 10 and verse 2 to 5. It says, "The man who enters by the gate is the shepherd of his sheep. The watchman opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out." Listen, you need to get this. As you begin to grow in your walk with God, in your relationship with God, see, God is very personal. He wants to speak with you. He wants to speak to you the way you like to be spoken to. God tailors himself to your personality when he begins to communicate with you. So he says in verse 4, "When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them." Now, this is important. This is where I'm going. "And his sheep follow him, because they know his voice." This is crucial. You can only follow God because over time, through fellowship, you have come to recognize his voice. And that's why, as a believer, if there's anything you must invest quality time into, it is to fellowship with God. Invest time in fellowshipping with God, because that's how you get to recognize his voice. That's how you get to know his voice. Let me read it again. "And his sheep follow him because they know his voice." Look at verse 5. "But they will never follow a stranger." Why? "In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice." It is by fellowship that you recognize the voice of God. It is through hearing from God that you are certain about your purpose, about your assignment. But I know not everybody is in that level. Not everybody is even a Christian. Okay. Also, if somebody says, "But I'm not sure. I have heard God's voice before. I don't know how to hear the voice of God." Are you saying I can't discover my purpose? No. This is step one, the most important step, the surest way. But there are options. Okay. Now look at step two. "I want to figure out my purpose." Don't forget, it's the glory of God to conceal a matter, the horn of kings to search it out. Even if God reveals to you, it will not reveal everything. It will still want you to exert yourself. And that's what takes us to step number two. Consider your equipment. Okay, I told you it's a four-step process. Step number one, ask God to reveal it to you. Step number two, consider your equipment. What am I saying? You are already equipped for your purpose. You are already equipped for your purpose. Look at Isaiah 50 and verse 4. Anybody who knows me knows this is perhaps my favorite verse in the Bible. Isaiah chapter 50 and verse 4. It says, "The Lord Jehovah has given me the tongue of the learned, to know to help the weary with a word. He wakens morning by morning. He wakens the ear to hear as the learned." This is what it's saying. God has given me an equipment for the assignment he has given me. He has given me a tongue of the learned so I can help the weary with a word. Romans chapter 11 and verse 29. It says, "For God's gifts and his call are irrevocable." I want to show you something there. "For God's gifts and his call are irrevocable." In other words, God's gifts precedes his call. In other words, by the time you become aware of what God wants you to do, what he needs you to have to fulfill it, he already equips you with. So if you don't know your call and you consider your equipping, it gives you an idea of what your assignment is. And I tell people this jokingly. When you see a person in uniform carrying a weapon, you know that is a law enforcer, because by his equipment, you know who he is. You see somebody in overalls with spanner Okay, and let me see what else with screwdrivers, and probably with maybe a keg of engine oil. Oh, you know that's an auto mechanic. Okay, you see somebody in white overalls with a stethoscope on his neck, you know that's a medical doctor. It's the same thing, okay? For whatever it is that your purpose is, you are already equipped for it. So consider your equipment. Okay, there are six things that I call pointers to purpose, and I want you to write them down if you're taking notes tonight. Pointers to purpose. When you pay attention to these things, they will give you an idea of what your assignment is. All right, there are six of them, and I have a question you can answer that would help you deal, or rather understand, these six pointers to purpose. This is number one, passion. Your passion is a pointer to your purpose. What steers your passion the most? What angers you the most? It's a pointer to purpose. I am very passionate about people, you know, being organized. I'm very passionate about people doing the right things the right way at the right time. Okay, I'm very passionate about very good sound. I'm very passionate about aesthetics. I'm passionate, you know, about people living a good life. Okay, no wonder I'm a leader. No wonder I'm a strategist. No wonder I like to teach people. Okay, because I'm passionate about it. I tell people this. There was one time I went to preach in a church, and their sound was very terrible. Very, very terrible sound. And you know, I struggled and I preached and we had a good time, but I went back to the church the following Sunday, this time around, not to preach. I invited myself and I went there to just go and help them with their sound. I went to their sound room, checked out their equipment, helped them to tweak their sound. I said to them, nobody should go through what we went through last week. And it's because, look, I'm passionate about it. When I go to a place and things are not orderly, I just want to make sure everything is orderly because I'm passionate, okay? I'm passionate about that. Now, the question is, what's your own passion? What are you passionate about? It's a pointer to your purpose. Number two pointer to purpose is pleasure. What do you enjoy doing so much that you lose a sense of time? Okay? I can talk like this for the next 4 hours. I just love to talk. I love to sing. I love to arrange. I love events. Okay? What gives you pleasure? It's a pointer to your purpose. Number three is your natural abilities. What can you do almost effortlessly? It's a pointer to your purpose. What can you do almost effortlessly? From the moment I was conscious of myself, what they told me at home is, keep short, you talk too much. Keep quiet, you talk too much. I love to talk. Well, when I'm blessing people, when I'm adding value to people, as I matured, I lost that desire to just talk, okay? But I love to talk. I'm passionate about talking. I'm passionate about creativity, okay? I love beauty. I love beautiful environment, all right? It's just something I'm natural with. I create things, okay? I design things, all right? And perhaps, I don't know so many people who are pastors and who are graphic designers, who are video editors. These are things I just do. I pick them up, okay, till tomorrow. I've never gone for any training on video editing, but I've trained people on how to edit videos because I just sat down with the software and I cracked it. Because, you see, it's just something that's natural with me. Guess what? Everybody has something like that. Okay, everybody has something like that. It leads me to the next one, aptitude. What do you find very easy to learn? My wife is food. I mean, my wife knows how to cook. But one thing I've noticed about her, she has aptitude for recipes. When somebody's talking about how to cook something, she picks it fast. Before you know it, she's trying it out and then she has cooked it and it tastes very nice. Okay, I can't do that to save myself. Okay, she's got aptitude in that regard. I don't have aptitude in that regard. Everybody is gifted for something. Okay, your aptitude is a pointer to your purpose. Another one is your personality. Okay, what suits your personality? I'm an introvert. I am an introvert, but I'm also choleric. Okay, so there are certain things I love to do. There are certain things I don't like to do because of the kind of person I am. For example, I really don't like interfacing with people. I don't like crowds in the sense of relating with people, talking to people. It wears me out. I like to stand on the stage and talk to the crowd. And when I'm done talking, I like to just withdraw to a corner and be by myself. Okay, but my wife, for example, is the direct opposite. She is the people person. She is a connector. She talks with people. She loves people. She relates with people. You know, sometimes just talking with people wears me out. Okay, it's my personality. You need to understand that, look, different is not inferior. It's important that people get that. Different is not inferior. God will use everything about you to achieve his purpose. And God figured it. I mean, God wired you the way you are for your assignment. So I tell people, my wife is the pastor, I am the strategist. She loves people, I teach people. A combination of both of us is good for them. Okay? So you've got to understand your uniqueness. Your personality is a pointer to your purpose. And the last one is your experience. Okay? What has life taught you? God will not allow anything in your life that is not connected to your purpose. You need to get that. God will not allow anything in your life that is not connected to your purpose. So don't waste your pain. Okay? Don't waste your pain. Your experience is a pointer to your purpose. It's very important. We are looking at the first step process to the discovery of purpose. We said step one is what? Ask God to reveal it to you. Step two, consider your equipment, because whatever it is that God wants you to do, He has already equipped you for it. The gifts and the callings of God are without repentance. His gifts precede His calling. Before He calls you, He gifts you. So when you look at your giftings, you can tell what your assignment is. Step number three, look within you. At this point, you want to sit down. And by the way, these four steps I'm describing tonight, they are not just things you need to know. There are things you need to do. And that's why I'm saying discovering these principles, hearing these principles is not enough. You've got to sit down and what? And do the exercises that I'm asking you to do. So at number three, step number three, you sit down and you ask yourself questions. Okay? Philippians chapter 2 and verse 13, New Living Translation says, "For God is working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases Him." The Bible in basic English, the same Philippians 2:13 says, "For it is God who is the cause of your desires and of your acts for His good pleasure." In other words, whatever God wants you to do outwardly, He will work out within you. He will give you a desire for it. This is very important. It's not your purpose if you are not gifted for it and you don't have desire for it. It's important, regardless of what anybody tells you. If you are not gifted for it, if you don't have the desire for it, if within you when nobody is there, it does not give you the kicks just thinking about yourself doing it, it's likely not your assignment. Now, at step number three, I want you to look within you, because what the Bible is saying is when God starts working in your life, He works inside. So there are realities within you, okay, that we can use questions to elicit. Okay, so please, I want you to write down these questions, okay, and prefer answers to these questions. This is the first one. What can I do with who I am? What can I do with who I am? And in answering this question, this is what I want you to do. I want you to sit down, pick a sheet of paper, and then make a list of your options, okay? I always encourage people to do about 10 options. Just write down, okay? Write down about 10 options. What can I do with who I am? For example, at a point in my life, I thought I could be a politician. Okay. I could be a teacher. All right. I could go into advertising. At a point, I was thinking seriously about that. I could go into advertising. I could be an MC, a compere at events. I can be a stand-up comedian. Okay. I pretty much crack jokes. Okay. I can be in the movie industry, all right, perhaps maybe as a producer or a director or photography or something, because I'm creative like that. What else can I do? See, as I'm saying this now, you sit down and write down your own, okay? Write down your own, all right? Of course, I could be a preacher. What else? I could be in international relations. And by the way, I trained to be a lawyer, all right? I'm not sure my father forgave me till he died because I never practiced law, but hey, I trained to be a lawyer, so I could be a lawyer. I've counted about 9. All right, so you can make a list of what can I do with who I am. When you have made your list of maybe 8 or 9 or 10, then you sit down with that list and you look at the top three that appeal to you the most. Out of the 10, the top three that appeal to you the most, you tick them. And then after you've ticked the top three, you look for the top one. In other words, out of these three options, which one resonates with me the most? Now, this is you trying to figure out. It's the glory of God to conceal, the honor of kings to search out. And so sometimes God will give desire. Sometimes God has given the gifting, but He still wants you to search out. He wants you to figure out. And that's what this kind of exercise is, okay, is all about. Now, that's just question one, okay, under step three. Question two, this is important. I need you to write down the answer to this question. If I have all the money I will ever need in life deposited into my account today, what will I do with the rest of my life? Now, you see, what this question is going to do for you is it's going to help you overcome the money challenge. So many people find it difficult to embrace their purpose because when they think of what they will eat, how they will survive, okay, what really appeals to them, what really is their purpose may not look lucrative to them at that point in time. I mean, for example, when I was going to decide to become a church pastor, it was not appealing. That's the truth. It was not very appealing. When I started working as a pastor, my first salary was 20,000 naira. Okay, that was a very long time ago though, but it was 20,000 naira per month. I mean, you can imagine what you can do with 20,000, but I knew this is what God will have me do. But for some people, they can't scale that money hurdle. And that's what this question will do for you. Now, let me say this to you. According to Romans 8:28, if you will live according to purpose, there's nothing you will ever need that will not be provided. And I can tell you that categorically, I am not that 20K guy anymore. By all means, okay? I spent 20K now without even thinking about it. But there was a time that was my monthly salary. But it did not stop me from pursuing my purpose. And that's what this question will do to you. It will help you to take away the money fear and be true to yourself. This is the question again. If I have all the money I will ever need deposited in my account today, what will I do with the rest of my life? Whatever the answer is likely to be your assignment. Okay, because you are going to be speaking from your heart, from your desire. Now, this is the last question. If I have all the resources I need, now this is talking about human resource, everything you will ever need. If I have all the resources I need, what would be my significant contribution to making the world a better place? Now, this takes care of issues of, do I have the right people? Am I in the right environment? Do I have the right tools and equipment? Okay, if all of that was granted, what will be my greatest contribution, okay, to making the world a better place? If you can answer these three questions honestly, you will be within the vicinity of your purpose. Now, step four is the ultimate. Everything we've been doing before now will not make sense if you don't do step four. Now, what is step four? Attempt a personal purpose statement. That's what you do at step four. Attempt a personal purpose statement. And it's very, very simple. You would write, I am a dash. And at that point, you will label yourself. You will look for one word that when you use it to describe yourself, it sits within you. Don't forget, God is at work in you, giving you the desire to will and to do of his good pleasure. When you call yourself something and it does not resonate in your heart, okay, you have not gotten there. So that's the first thing you need to do. You say, I am a, based on all the questions we've been answering, every step we've been taking before now, you say, I am a dash. And then you label yourself. Then you say, my purpose is to dash. And then you describe yourself in a short phrase, okay? You describe what you understand your assignment is, and that is your first attempt at a purpose statement. What it does is everything we've discovered in the steps we've been taking now comes together in just one sentence. I'll give you an example of mine. I am a coach. So that word coach describes who I am, describes what I do. I am a coach. Then you say, my purpose is to help people discover themselves and make the most of life. I've had several sessions with people where I tell them to practice, okay, writing their personal purpose statement. And it's amazing what you will come up with when you sit down to describe yourself this way. I am a dash. I've heard people say things like, I am an entrepreneur. My purpose is to take care of the less privileged from the profit I make in my enterprise. Whatever it is that flows from your heart, but you have to document it. Okay, nothing becomes dynamic until it is specific. Now, attempting a purpose statement does not mean that that is your purpose, but it helps you to see what it's likely to be. It helps you to document your feelings, your desires, perhaps the revelation that God has given you. Of course, if you hear directly from God, just write down what you heard from God. This is very important. Now, this is what you need to do. You repeat these four steps periodically. Okay, in other words, you go back to God. I want clarity. I want to know what my purpose is. And after you have prayed, you know God will answer your prayer. So you go to step two, consider your equipment. You go to step three, you look within you. Then you go to step four, you attempt your purpose statement. You keep doing it, okay? When you get clarity, you review your statement. My statement that I shared with you right now is not where I started from, all right? It's not where I started from. Over the years, it has been refined because the higher you climb, the clearer you see. The most important thing, however, is that you act immediately upon your discovery. It's very important. If you don't do something with the light you have, you are likely not to get a clearer light. So you do something immediately with what you discover, okay? God will not give you a clearer picture until you live up to what you have already discovered. It's very important. God will not give you a clearer picture until you live up to what you have already discovered. Next Wednesday, I'm going to teach on how to live on purpose, okay? How to live on purpose. If you have any questions.